You know, I want to tell you, we're going to talk about baptism for a few minutes. And at the end of this service, you maybe came with no expectation or anticipation of baptism, but if God is speaking to your heart today, I'm going to invite you to consider baptism either here in the church or at the river after lunch. I'm going to invite you to that yet today. So listen to the Spirit of God as he speaks to your heart today, because he might be tapping on your heart. He might be tapping on your heart that you might know him in a personal way. You know, Sherry and I told the first service this, and Sherry and I had a chance to sing at my great aunt's funeral the other day. She was 100. And although it's always a highlight to sing and make a noise unto the Lord, and that's pretty much all I can do is make some noise, but it's always a highlight to sing. But the highlight of that funeral was I met a third cousin of mine that I haven't seen in 14 years, and I know it was 14 years because 14 years ago we buried his dad. So I know it's been 14 years since I've seen him. And I came out into the foyer where he and his wife and his youngest daughter were, and I met them, and we exchanged pleasantries, and he wanted to know what I was doing, and I was saying, I told him I'm pastoring a church. And his face just lit up. He was happy, he was excited, and I knew with that countenance that there had been a heart transformation in his life. And then his wife, who was standing there, proud of her husband, standing there erect and tall, She said to me, Jim, I prayed for him for 24 years. You see, they were married some 20-some years ago, and she knew Jesus, and he didn't. And if he were standing here today, he'd tell you, he told me of the days he would come home drunk and not even know his wife and children when he got there. The days that God brought him home in his drunkenness, helped him get home night after night, year after year, and one day, after his dear wife prayed for him for 24 years, one day he met Jesus. And he told me, Jim, he said, it took me a while. But God is faithful. God's grace reached down to me even at 47 years old. And I've only known him for a year. But today his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because today he has met Jesus. And so I just wanted to tell you that, because you know we're going to celebrate baptism and we're going to baptize some folks today. But you know what? It all starts with Jesus. It all starts with Jesus. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what they did in the New Testament, what baptism is and isn't a little bit. But I want you to know today that Jesus is real. He's alive. And he's working in our communities, and he's working in your hearts, and he's working in this church, in your church. He's alive, and he's well, and the Spirit of the living God is tapping on hearts' doors, and some of you are praying for your loved ones. Some of you have been praying for 20 years for your loved ones that they might meet with Jesus. Don't give up, because he's real, and he loves them more than you do. And when we come to know him, we celebrate this thing called baptism. What is baptism? Water baptism is a sacrament in the church, not unlike Holy Communion. It's one of those sacraments that we do, commanded by our Lord. We'll see that in Matthew 28, signifying your acceptance of his forgiveness when you repent, and your acceptance of him, the Savior, into your lives. Baptism is a sacrament commanded by our Lord, signifying the acceptance of the benefits of the atonement of Jesus Christ, to be administered to believers when we come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. And so you say, Jim, so why do we baptize? Well, you know, John was baptizing in Mark chapter 1, verse 4. He was baptizing, and I don't know if we really even have time to turn to these, but because our time is going so quickly, but John came baptizing, you know about this, in Mark chapter 1, and he was baptizing and preaching a baptism of repentance and remission of sin. And so John, I don't know how familiar they were with baptism. I think it was rare. I think that baptisms were rare because this commandment hadn't been handed down yet. And the only real baptisms going on that I know of at that time were when a Gentile had converted to Judaism, they would baptize him as receiving them into the Jewish fellowship. And so baptism was relatively rare, but John came preaching a baptism of repentance. In other words, he was saying to Israel, get ready, the Messiah is coming. Repent and get ready. And so you see, when Malachi 3:1 told us that there's going to be this voice crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way, John was coming and telling them to repent and get ready and be baptized because the kingdom of God is at hand. But baptism under John did not produce repentance, but was rather a signifier that repentance had taken place. Okay, so they come down to the river and they said, Brother John, baptize me because I have repented of my sin. And so baptism was a signifier, an indicator that they had recognized I need to repent. Baptism, when John was baptizing, did not produce forgiveness of sin. It was an outward confession that they needed forgiveness of sin. Then, when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit of God at Pentecost and were preaching the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, they began to baptize, signifying a changed heart, signifying a changed life, signifying repentance had taken place. Faith in Jesus had been proclaimed, and I'm a forgiven sinner who has come to know Jesus. They were then baptized as new converts into Christianity. And so we see in Acts chapter 2 as an illustration, you know that Peter in his first sermon was filled with the Spirit, and he's got a long sermon, a powerful sermon, and he gets to the conclusion of it in verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, and he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, he had proclaimed the name of Jesus. He had said, the Messiah has been here. And you, by the way, some of you took part in his crucifixion. You killed him, but he rose again. And Jesus, we are claiming, is the Messiah. He is Lord. He is Christ. He is God. And you need to put your faith in him. And Peter was filled with the Spirit, and the crowd was filled by the Spirit. And they said, they cried out, what do we do about it? And Peter said to them, repent. Start with repentance. Turn from the sin is what repentance means. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And verse 40 says that, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Gladly received what word? Gladly received his word that said, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. Gladly received his word that said, he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And those that received that and repented and recognized Christ as their Lord and Savior were baptized that perhaps even that very hour. You see, baptism in the New Testament church was synonymous with their salvation. If they were being baptized for the remission of sin, they were baptized because they had been saved by Jesus. They always were working hand in hand. You can see these illustrations over and over. But baptism in the New Testament church was that ever-present act of obedience commanded by the Lord in Matthew 28. that ever-present act of obedience so that it was just hand in hand when I come to know Christ. I came to know Christ. I've recognized Him as Lord. He is my Savior now. It's time to be baptized. That's what the New Testament model was. Jesus instructed in Matthew 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Make disciples. Tell them about Jesus. Make disciples and baptize them. And then keep teaching them. That's His outline. Or you recall the example in Acts 8 when Philip was preaching Christ as Lord in Samaria. And when he got done, he got to Acts chapter 8, verse 12. And he said, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself," that's another Simon, you'll have to read up about him. You can read about that in Acts 8. He's a character, not Simon Peter. "Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done." And then there's, of course, the example of the Ethiopian eunuch, also in the same chapter, who wondered in his mind about Jesus as he read. He'd been in Jerusalem. He was reading from Isaiah. And Philip, by the Spirit, was taken alongside him. And Philip asked him, "Do you know what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I know unless someone tells me?" And so I think you know that story where Peter come alongside him and they read from Isaiah. And he said, "Is this the Christ?" And Philip simply told him, "This is the Christ. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah." And he wanted to believe in Him and be baptized. And he asked, "What doth hinder me from being baptized?" They stopped the chariot because he believed in this Jesus he was reading about and was baptized. And so let me answer a couple of questions quick before we close that you have asked me. Jim, does baptism save my soul? Whether I'm on 99 on my deathbed or 100 or whether I'm 9 days old, does baptism save my soul? Been asked that question. Let me answer it for you with Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith." Okay? Are you with me? "For by grace you have been saved through faith." And so if you're relying on your baptism to save your soul in the future or past, it's your faith in the resurrected Jesus that saves. "For by grace," that's the grace of the Almighty God that extends down to each one of us one at a time, "you have been saved through your faith." My faith in Christ, your faith in Christ. Then he goes on to say, "and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If we could work our way to heaven, we'd be trying to work our way there. If we could wash our way to heaven, we'd be washed there. It's by your faith in the resurrected Jesus. Well, Jim, what about Ephesians 4 that says one baptism? I've been told this: you get baptized, that's it. Ephesians 4 says this: "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." The baptism in Ephesians 4 is referring quite simply to the water baptism that follows one's exercising their faith. Their faith and salvation in Jesus Christ as Lord. You've asked me, "Do I have to be baptized to go to heaven?" While the New Testament believers were instructed and commanded to be baptized as an outward sign of their decision to follow Christ so that the general public might know, they too have made that decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. While they were instructed to do that, perhaps not everyone got a chance to be baptized, and I know for sure of one. From Luke 23, verses 40 to 43, and you know of him too. Jesus hung between the two criminals. And they railed against him and accused him. And there came a point when the one said to the other, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And here's what he said. This criminal, this thief, this murderer, this insurrectionist, whatever he was, said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You see, he recognized him as Lord. Recognized him as Savior, as Messiah. And Jesus said to him quite simply as they hung there on those wretched crosses, "Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." So to answer the question that you have asked, do I have to be baptized to get to heaven? Is that my ticket, so to speak? Not everybody got to be. He didn't get to be. It was commanded by Jesus in Matthew 28, and Peter and Paul talked about it, but sometimes they didn't get a chance to be baptized. And sometimes I think we get all hung up on thinking that somehow I can gain entrance into glory, gain entrance into the kingdom by something that I can do with my hands, or something that I can, maybe I can walk across glass and I can suffer a little and I can gain her into kingdom, or I can be baptized. But you see, Ephesians reminds us it's not of works. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, His grace, when you exercise your faith. And baptism is simply claiming to the world, "I have decided to follow Jesus." It's simply claiming to the world, "I want Him as my Lord and Savior." Baptism, I've been asked this question, I want to answer it for you this way. Baptism is not my ticket to the kingdom of God, although baptism is commanded when we know God. My faith in the resurrected Jesus is the way to salvation and the kingdom of God. Baptism is commanded by Jesus, was talked about by Peter and Paul, was carried out by the majority of the New Testament believers. Baptism is telling the world that you have forgiveness of sins because of your individual faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism, as I said to you earlier, is a sacrament that we keep unto the Lord, not unlike communion within the church, an act of obedience. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot work our way into God's kingdom. It is your simple childlike faith in the resurrected Jesus. And baptism is a signifier that says, "I have decided to follow Jesus." I'm going to ask some questions of the people this morning later of those that have decided to follow Jesus. And I really like the first one because it quite simply says, "Do you have the inward witness that your sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord?" That's the first question I'm going to ask them. And I like these questions because they say to us, the rest of us, "I know that I know because I've invited Jesus into my life." And so I know there's a number of people here today that are going to be baptized at the river after lunch. But I don't know everybody that perhaps wants to be, because I maybe haven't had a chance to talk to everybody. But I'm going to ask you two questions this morning. Number one, do you know Jesus as Lord? Have you been born again? Have you reconnected in your spirit with the Spirit of the living God? Because if you have and have not been baptized, it's a good thing to be. If you have not been born again, if you have not surrendered your all to Jesus, we're going to pray, and I'm going to give you a chance to do that, because eternity depends upon it. We ain't all going to live to be 100. Some of us won't live another 6 months, perhaps, or 6 days. And Jesus, your faith, my faith in Jesus, is the way to salvation. And so we're going to pray in just a moment, and I'm going to ask you to pray that with me if you've never done that. But if you have made a decision to follow Christ as Lord and have not been baptized, I would invite you to do that today. I maybe didn't talk to you, but if you have made that decision and you want to come forward for what we call pouring, I have the picture here. We will baptize you right here today. If you want to be baptized in the river after lunch, we're going to ask the same questions. We're going to pray, and we're going to be baptized by immersion. Some prefer that. Some don't necessarily like to be in the water, so we will baptize you by pouring right here in the sanctuary. Either way, if you want to be baptized today, you let me know and we will do it. But I want us to pray first. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes right now. And I want us to ask ourselves, do I really know Jesus? Am I born again? Am I saved? Have I come to the cross at Calvary and recognize that my sins are forgiven because I have repented of them and invited Jesus into my life? If you're not absolutely sure of that, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, if you're not absolutely sure of that and you want to be, you slip your hand up and then put it down so we can pray together. And if you have confessed your sin, invited Christ into your life, and not been baptized and want to be today, we're going to give you a chance to do that too. Gracious and eternal God, we recognize that we cannot do anything on our own merits to be a child of God and part of the kingdom of God. We recognize it is your wonderful grace, O God, the shed blood of Jesus for the remission of our sin and our faith in Him as our Savior. We recognize, O God, the New Testament teaching that reminds us to be baptized once we have repented and acknowledged Jesus as Lord. We recognize that it is an important sacrament in the church that we do this. And thank you again for those that have been baptized today already. Thank you for those that will be baptized at the river in a little while. And Father, if there are any today that are wondering, you know what, I have decided to follow Jesus just a month or so ago, or a year or so ago, or yesterday, or today, and want to be baptized, Father, we want to invite them to baptism today too. Just to tell the world that they have committed their life to Jesus. And as the blood of Jesus has washed away our sin, so this water signifies the cleansing, purifying power of Jesus, the power of your Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your guidance. Thank you, Father, for this command in the New Testament of baptism. We pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.